This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نادى الرسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل وقال الذين كفروا لرسلهم لنخرجنكم من أرضنا أو لتعودن في ملتنا فأوحى إليهم ربهم لنهلكن الظالمين ولنسكننكم الأرض من بعدهم ذلك لمن خاف مقامي وخاف وعيد واستفتحوا وخاب كل جبار عنيد من ورائه جهنم ويسقى من ماء صديد يتجرعه ولا يكاد يسيغه ويأتيه الموت من كل مكان وما هو بميت ومن ورائه عذاب غليظ يقول سبحانه وتعالى ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار مهطعين مقنعي رؤوسهم لا يرتد إليهم طرفهم وأفئدتهم هواء يقول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فيما يرويه الإمام مسلم في الحديث القدسي يقول الله يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا أو فلا تظالموا يقول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فيما اتفق عليه الشيخان إن الله ليملي للظالم حتى إذا أخذه لم يفلته. Over the course of the last 6 to 7 days, we have been watching in horror, in absolute horror, as our brothers and sisters in Gaza, Palestine, are being bombed and killed and removed yet again from the homes that they have. As the world watches, not in silence, because silence would have been better than what we actually see today. Silence, I'll take silence any day of the week over unwavering support for the oppressor to continue their oppression. The unwavering support that is given by our own politicians, some of those who are local, we brought into our masajid and welcomed them in and talked to them and voted them in. And as we observe this and as we watch it on a daily basis, I have to say this is not the first time within my lifetime that I got in a minbar and had to talk about it. And I fear it won't be the last. But I can tell you for sure that since I've been born, this is probably the worst. Never seen such barbarianism, such bigotry, such hatred, such aggression, and at the same time, such hypocrisy, and a double standard that is just being used openly with no shame at all, with absolutely no shame and no embarrassment from the repetitive use of it. Today, I'm not here to increase your pain or to make you more angry than you probably already are, or to increase your fear, or for you to walk away feeling worse than you did walking in. What I do want to achieve today is, number one, I want to remind you of the narrative. I want to remind you of what the narrative is. And then I want to make sure we have some idea of what advocacy or what action plans exist for us. And then I want to talk about children. So to start out, the fuqaha always used a term when they talked about a dispute. And the term was mahallun niza'. And anyone who studies a little bit of usul and fiqh, they know that this is a term that's important. If you don't know what that term means, or you don't understand what mahallun niza' is in any different disagreement, then you can't fix the problem. I mean, what's the point of contest? What is being disputed? Mahallun niza', we have to figure that out. And in the midst of what we observe on a daily basis, and all the discussions and the arguments and the conversations, and the people coming, sitting on in their TV stations and on media, talking about what they believe is or believe isn't, and you're hearing all these different opinions, you can get very confused and distracted. And let's make it really simple. I don't get confused and I don't get distracted because I take it back to the simplicity of it all. Just go back to what's really simple. Now, I don't live there, and neither do you. And I'm not in a position to make a comment on how things should have been done and how they were done and why the Palestinians don't agree on everything and why it was done this way or that way. I'm not in that position. And I can't really make a comment on that. I haven't been treated as a subhuman for 50 years. So I don't know, and I'm not here to talk about that. But I'm here to tell you what I do know and what you know for sure, for sure. In the midst of all of this confusion and these back and forth, what you know for sure. You see, if you have a good argument in this life, you don't get distracted by sidelines or by side arguments. You don't. This is a logical fallacy that is used. They have names for them. When someone has a good argument, someone has a weak argument, the person with the weak argument, instead of arguing the point, will distract and talk about other stuff. Maybe go after your character or some details. Someone with a strong argument doesn't. They stick to the point. Stick to the point. Here's the point. In 1917, foreign people promised a land they didn't own to people who had no claim over it. In 1948, an apartheid Zionist state was established, offering citizenship based on birthrights, ethnically cleansing towns and villages and cities from the people who had been living there for centuries, if not a millennium. In 1967, the Nakba occurred and they occupied what was left of the Holy Land, including other parts of the land. These aren't points of dispute. There's no second opinion on this. These are historical facts. This is what happened. This is what happened. You can be on any side you want. This is what occurred. They continue to build their settlements on land that the rest of the world believe is illegal to do. Forget about what we think. The rest of the world say that it's illegal to build there. They continue to do that. They have put a siege on a piece of land that is extremely small, extremely overpopulated, one of the most highly dense populated places on the planet for the last 16 years straight, 50 years if you're going to be a bit more accurate. That's what we know. That is undisputable historical fact. I don't need to know anything else. I don't need to argue with anybody anything else. My opinion on anything else is completely irrelevant. When people ask you, do you agree with that? Or tell me, do you condemn the 1917 Balfour Declaration? Do you condemn the 1948 Nakba? Do you condemn the 1967 Naxa? Do you condemn what continuously happens on that land? And the number of the civilians that are continuously being killed over the last 2 or 3 decades. Do you condemn that? When you condemn that, I'll take you out for lunch and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We can talk about how the oppressed could have revolted or resisted a little bit better. I believe it's unethical. I truly believe it's unethical for us to talk about the oppressed and how they are resisting their oppressors while the oppression is still there. While the oppressors continue to hold in their hands that which they took and they have not given it back. It makes no sense if someone takes something away from you and stands there and we all stand and watch. We don't have the right to judge you on how you're going to retaliate. There's no sense in that. I can't do it ethically, philosophically, theologically. You can't do that. The oppression is there. No one has removed it yet. Talk to me when you condemn it and talk to me when you start removing it and then we can have discussions. And then we can go into details. No problem. I am open for discussion with details. I have no issue with that. But not until we agree and we recognize the oppression that occurred. Just recognize it. Just acknowledge that it's there. You understand how hard it is? How hard it is for you to be oppressed and no one acknowledge that you are. Oppression is like cancer. It's like cancer. If it's not removed, it just grows and gets worse and worse and worse. It never goes away. It never goes away. The pain that it causes is unmeasurable. And what goes around comes around in this world. It never fades into nothingness. It's always there. Until it's removed, it's always going to be there. And it doesn't get prettier. اتقوا الظلم, as he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام. فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You see, ظُلْم, oppression starts in this world and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it turns into darkness on the Sirat on the Day of Judgment. And that's where we find it. We find it over there. As Muslims, one of the core values that we carry in Islam, if not the core value, is haqq, is justice, is anti-oppression. First and foremost, above everything else, every other value you can think of is trumped by haqq. Is trumped by standing against dhulm. The issue here is mazlama, brothers and sisters. Issue of mazlama. This is not as a display. This is not a contest of Muslims and Jews. It never has been. It never was. This has never been a problem. Jews and Muslims have lived side by side for as long as Muslims have been around. Muslims have lived by every single faith on the planet and every corner of the earth. This is not the problem. To be even more frank, if you come from any major city within the Middle East, you know that they have neighborhoods there till this day. Every major city in the Middle East has the neighborhood where the Jewish people still live there. When we were there in Palestine, they were with us. When the Crusades happened, we had to leave. They left with us. When Salah ad-Din entered, they went with us again. They were with again in Andalusia. When we left again. There's no, we don't play that game. We don't play that anti-Semitism. No, that's not. How are you going to be anti-Semitic when most people sitting here are the sons and daughters of Ishmael? How can you be anti yourself? It doesn't work that way. We don't believe in that. That's not what we practice. That's not how we think. They live with us. That's no problem at all. This is not an issue of religion. We don't accept the death of any civilian anywhere. But that's not the issue of contest. That's not what we're arguing right now. We're not arguing any of that. We're arguing a mazlama. An act of oppression that occurred over 100 years ago, was established 75 years ago, and continues till today. That is what we're talking about. No one has removed that. The world continues to ignore that, and we will continue to talk about it. And we will continue to voice our concerns about it, and we will never let it die. And if there are people somewhere there that refused to be buried, if there are people there who are refusing to allow the world to forget about them, who am I to? No, I can't. I can't. They have every right. I can't say anything. They are being oppressed. You see, oppression exists all throughout the Muslim world, to be quite frank and honest here. I'm ashamed to say that I don't know all of the acts of oppression that have occurred upon many Muslim brothers and sisters who are here with us today. You've got almost every Muslim group, there's a story of oppression that never got fixed. And yes, we talk about this one a little bit more. And when I stand here and I look at my Muslim brothers and sisters coming from other parts of the world where they were oppressed and mistreated, I apologize to them. I'm sorry I don't know. And I'm sorry I don't speak about it as much as I should. That's on us, and that's a mistake that we have to rectify. And your mazlama is as important as any other mazlama. Your oppression is as important as the oppression of any other Muslim. The oppression of every human being is as important as the oppression of any other human being. But today, we talk about something that we are watching, that we are witnessing, that the world stands and supports as they carpet bomb a very small piece of land, demanding that a 2.2 million population remove themselves to a... This is what we are watching, and this is what is happening. It's not the first time you've seen it. And if you're 50 or 60, it's not the second or third time either. It's been happening a lot. Can it change? Maybe. But as of now, it's ongoing. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده أخواني وأخواتي لست هنا اليوم للحديث عما يحصل في غزة فلسطين في الأرض المقدسة لأزيد من الغضب أو من الخوف أو لأؤجج المشاعر الملتهبة أصلا ولكن أردت أن أوضح الرواية المسلمة الرواية الإسلامية الرواية العربية الرواية الفلسطينية التي على كل واحد منا كل فرد أن يتبناها بوضوح ألا تكون غائبة عن ذهن أحد منا أن يكون محل النزاع في هذه المسألة واضحا تماما ألا يختلف عليه اثنان ألا يتم اجترار ألا يتم جرك إلى نقاشات وحوارات جانبية لا معنى لها لا تمت للقضية الأصيلة بصلة الإنسان اللي أهل فلسطين أهل حق أهل حق أناس ظلموا لديهم مظلمة هذه المظلمة مستمرة نقطة انتهى آخر السطر ليس هناك داعي لمتابعة الكلام لا لشرد الأسئلة ولا للإتيان بأجوبة جديدة ولا للدخول في تفاصيل ما لا 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 المظلمة حصلت وما زالت تحصل والأمر حتى تزول المظلمة حتى تزول هذه المظلمة نقف مع الحقوق المغتصبة مع الأرض المنتهكة مع المقدسات المسلوبة حتى النهاية حتى آخر لحظة اتفقت مع كيفية مقاومتهم اتفقت معهم رأيت أنهم يعني متحدون تساءلت عن سبب خلافهم قضية لا تمت لك قضية لا علاقة لي بها الذي أعرفه هو أن المظلمة وقعت وأن هناك أرض مغتصبة وأن هناك مقدسات مسلوبة ولم يتم إعادتها بعد ولم يتم رد الحق إلى أهله وما دام الأمر كذلك فموقفنا في منتهى الوضوح موقف واضح موقف سهل والله موقف سهل موقف لا يحتاج شجاعة لا يحتاج تدبر لا يتطلب من الإنسان أن يتأمل في نفسه فقط يكون عند الإنسان شيء من الموضوعية شيء من الحق في ذاته فقط يكفيه لكن نحيا في عالم حتى هذه الصفات لم تعد موجودة بين البشر يؤلمني أن أرى من المسلمين من هم على هذه الشاكلة يؤلمني هذا الذي يقتلني تماما أتفهم لا أتوقع أصلا من الغرب سوى الذي يفعلونهم لم أقول أتوقع من قبل ولا أتوقع في المستقبل لكن أنا أرى إخوانا لي مسلمين يحكمون البلدان في مناطق مجاورة هكذا مواقفهم مواقف مخزية شيء مؤسف شيء مؤلم So what can we do? The narrative must be clear. Make it very clear. You know exactly what it is that you're contesting. This argument is very clear. There's an apartheid Zionist state occupying land illegally, performing ethnic cleansing since 1932 till today. This is the historic fact. That has to stop and be removed, and until it does, then there is no resolution. See, peace is only peace if it serves justice. if it serves justice, if the rights of the Palestinians are given back to them, if they are treated equally, if they can live freely with dignity, then we can start talking. But until then, we stand in an unwavering position of solidarity with them till the end. In an unwavering position of solidarity with the Palestinians till the end, just like some of our politicians enjoy in an unwavering manner standing by the oppressor. Well, at least we know with whom we stand. A few things you can do. Here's a few things. Number one, political advocacy. This is the most important part, in my opinion. My generation, not too good at it. I ain't good at it either. Political advocacy is important, especially in our society here. Those whom we supported, the politicians we supported, should know, should feel our lack of support, should feel the fact that we are not okay with the comments that they make and the stances that they take. I know most people in the world, most politicians have sold a long time ago, but that doesn't matter to me. They must know that this is an issue that matters to us. Every person here has an email and has a phone. Make phone calls and send emails and send letters and be very clear and stick to the basic narrative of what it is that we stand for. That's the least we can do. You see, our brothers and sisters in Palestine are paying with their blood. They're paying with their homes, paying with their livelihood. They're losing that which is very difficult to lose. We are required to do something. You see, you can say, I'm making dua. Of course you're making dua. What are you? What else are you doing? Of course you're making dua. Don't consider that doing something. That's rude. Of course you're going to make dua. Of course. You're a Muslim. You make dua for them every sajda you make. As you walk down the street. When you go to sleep. When you wake up. You're making dua for them. If you're not, then what else are you doing? Of course you're making dua. You're a Muslim. That's a part of who you are. Don't consider that I did something. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I know it's hard to hear, but no, you didn't. When you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, yes, there's a mazlama, I ain't doing anything. I'm going to ask you to fix it, though. You fix it. Can you fix it? Fix it, Ya Rab. But I'm too busy. I don't have time to do anything about it. So you take care of it. That's not what dua is. I'm sorry. That's not what it is. It's not what it is. So make dua, of course. We will continue to make dua, not forever. But figure out something that you can do. Political advocacy, if you can't do that, to make sure you donate to them. Financially support them because they're going to need a lot of it. They're going to need a lot of it, and they don't get as much as they deserve and as much as they require. Make sure you raise awareness within the circles that you're in. This is not an issue that you stay quiet on, by the way. As Muslims, we have to be strategic and smart and wise in terms of what is it that we openly detest and go after and what we leave. This is not one of those issues. There's a lot of issues we can put on the side burner as Muslims. A lot of issues we can put on the side burner and let for another day. This isn't one of them. This is not one of them. You don't shy away from this. You're not embarrassed of what you stand for when it comes to this issue at all. That may cost all of us. That's fine. That's fine. Because it's costing the people there way more. Way more. So make sure you raise awareness and you speak of it. On the media perspective, there's a lot that can be done. We don't have the reach that we should. But today, things are a little bit different than they were in the 1990s, where there was only 3 or 4 outlets, and whoever ran them, they control the flow of information. Today, the flow of information is much more free. So you have the ability to put the narrative out. Make sure that you do so. The final point of this khutbah, the children. I'm not just speaking of the children who are passing away in Gaza that we've watched over the years and we're watching today, the pain that comes with seeing that and observing it. I'm talking about our children here. The narrative that I explained to you at the beginning and the importance and urgency of taking action on what's happening has to be passed down. They have to be taught this in their homes and in their masajid and everywhere they go. See, a cause that has people who are still standing for it doesn't die. A cause that doesn't will slowly fade away. So this next generation has to know that as well. There has to be hope. We have to show that there's hope. That there's hope of things changing. I grew up, I didn't have that. I'll be very honest with you. I didn't. I knew the importance of this cause. I knew the importance of this qadiyya. How it was in the heart of the Muslim world, the Muslim ummah, is al-Quds. It's the Masjid al-Aqsa. It's in the Quran. He went there, alayhi salatu wasalam. He ascended to the heavens from there. It means something to us. It's very central. And what we are as Muslims, it means a lot. I didn't have hope growing up. Very little of it. I don't think that's healthy. I think there is hope. Of course there's hope. Of course there is hope. And we have to generate it. And we have to make sure that the next generation feels, yes, there is hope. You are the hope. You are the hope of what is to come. Or the hope for this to change, for the public opinion to move, and for the forces of the world to see what they are consciously drawing a blind eye to. Just consciously just acting like it's not there. Using rhetoric and using words and speaking in a way that is nauseating, that is vomit-inducing, that is just plain disgusting. But there's lack of work on our side. There's lack of advocacy, there's lack of involvement, there's lack of awareness raising. And you have to make sure that the kids know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their martyrs and grant those who are ill shifa, and may Allah grant them their salvation. There will be, over the next number of days, different events that are going to address this topic specifically. Many of them will be directed towards the younger generation in terms of dealing with some of the trauma that they may be going through when they watch these things on TV, or answering some of the questions that may be lingering for them. The Q&A after Salah will run. I hope that it can be more focused on that, especially for the younger brothers and sisters, if they have questions about this topic specifically. It's important we talk about it. It's important it stays alive. And it's important that we support one another through these times. This community in London has a very large Palestinian jaliyah, and actually has a very large Ghazawi jaliyah, as far as I can tell. I know a lot of people. I thought it was normal, but this is actually very specific to the city. A lot of people from Gaza. So support them and reach out to them and give them calls and make sure that they feel, because unless you've been in a similar situation where you sat and watched your country burn, then it's hard to understand what it feels like. It's one of the ugliest, feelings that I've ever existed. I wish it upon no one. Wallahi, upon no one. So make sure you take some time and think about that and offer it, and encourage the youth to go and attend some of these sessions. There's a session, I think, I want to say it's tonight, 7 o'clock, inshallah, at the Mag Hyde Park. I think Dr. Wa'ad Hadara and Brother Muhammad Ashur will be moderating it, so the youth are welcome to go, inshallah, and attend that. And there'll be more to come, inshallah, in terms of supporting them. Make sure you donate. I know we talked about donation for this place last week. Focus your donation for them. There are links and QR codes from the LMM and from MAC as well. We don't have something specific for us. We're just sharing their links. Use their links and continue to send to the people of Gaza and show them the support that they deserve. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المسلمين في غزة فلسطين اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم يا رب العالمين اللهم هون عليهم ما هم فيه يا حي يا قيوم اللهم رد كيد الأعداء في نحورهم يا قوي ويا متين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى وما حولها يا رب العالمين اللهم رده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا أكرم الأكرمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين يا حي يا قيوم وما ذلك عليك اللهم عزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة.